You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Sarah Dawkins. I think I totally sound like an old lady just to myself when I say how much I really enjoy being able to have conversations, sort of face-to-face conversations with people for the show who are all the way on the other side of the world. But I really do think it's a lovely thing. Sarah joins us from Spain for the conversation, but she's not from Spain. You'll hear her explain that in a second. Sarah and I talk about a professional shift that she made in her very own life. And in her case, when she began to question whether or not she wanted to continue to do the job that she had trained for, it became a self-identity issue. And so we talk about what that felt like, what happened, and how she worked through it. In my life, I've seen and even experienced this sort of, if I'm not this, then what does it mean about who I am situation unfold in a bunch of different areas of the human experience, not just work. So this is turning into quite a little babbling introduction. So I'm going to stop yapping about the conversation and instead let you hear it. Let's go. Welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. Sarah Dawkins, are you ready for a fun chat today?
Absolutely. Bring it on.
Let's do it. All right. I have two warm-up questions I ask all of my guests. The first is, what part of the world do you call home?
I think home is where I lay my hat, so to speak, because my husband and I have lived in so many places, four countries, and we're currently in Spain. So home is wherever I am at the time, and currently it's Spain.
Spain. All right. So then this question is different when I talk to people who move around a lot. Share something that you love about where you are right now, where you're living in Spain.
I love the peace and tranquility because we are a long way up above sea level, and yet we're on the valley floor of where we are, and we're surrounded by mountains. So walk the dog in the green space, the tranquility, it's beautiful. And of course, the sun shines a lot.
Lovely, truly lovely. Yes, Spain is a sunny spot. And that is really special. All right. Thank you for sharing that, Sarah. Our conversation today is going to be about a shift that you went through in your own life, which started by challenging your professional beliefs. But over time, I think it turned into a bigger identity shift. You were a nurse, but today you describe your profession as holistic health, and we're going to dig into that. But let's start at the very beginning. Rewind the clock all the way back to before you were a professional and share with us, what was it about being a nurse that you were drawn to when you were younger?
I like helping people, and I wanted to help people in their vulnerable times, and I thought I could do that through nursing. So I tried to go into nursing, but unfortunately I didn't work hard in school because there was no discipline or very little. So I didn't get the qualifications I needed. So I had to go to college to get the qualifications to go to nursing school.
Oh, very interesting. All right. So I am in the United States and the education programs are a little different in different countries. So so tell us a little bit about the process to train to be a nurse, where you were going to school. Where were you? What country are you going to school? I'm not great at all of the accents. I would guess somewhere in the UK, but sometimes I get it wrong and it's actually South Africa and Australia. So you tell me.
You're correct. It's the UK. So I applied to go to nursing school when I lived in Chester.
Okay.
And was knocked back because I didn't have the right exam qualifications. So rather than going to college and getting the qualifications that I was asked of, I thought, no, I'm going to do better. So I went the next level higher, and I did qualifications at the level higher than was asked for. Okay. Prove to myself that I could do what they wanted me to do.
All right.
And And it took me 2 years actually to get the qualifications that I needed, in which time we'd moved across the country from the West Coast to the East Coast. And I went to applied for nursing school in Hull and was accepted.
So very good. All right. So it is, I don't know if it's, I never went to nursing school, so I can't guarantee that it's different than it is here, but it sounds a little bit different. I think you complete your nursing qualifications and you work as a nurse for quite some time. Is that right?
I did, yes. But my beliefs were challenged after only 4 years. So I'd only been qualified for 4 years in a profession that I wanted to live and die in. And then my beliefs were challenged.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that because in your, well, let's, I want to clarify the time frame. How long did you work as a nurse total? And we'll talk about the challenging right after that.
I was on the register for 20 years.
Okay.
I worked almost full time for probably 16 of those years. And then the last 4 years, although I was a registered nurse, I didn't work as a nurse. I was on the register, but I didn't work.
Okay, so does that mean, just to point in vocabulary, you were qualified and your licenses were still in place, you just weren't working as a nurse in a
facility? Exactly.
Okay, so in your pitch, you shared that you were challenged at work by a coworker, and the words you used were about the use of pills at home. And can you share more about what that means and what happened?
So actually, it was I had a conversation with a nurse colleague. We'd moved to America at that point. In 2004, and it was 2005, I was challenged. So I was talking to my nurse colleague about the puppy that we'd got, taking it to the vet for its puppy vaccines. And she said, well, why would you do that? And of course, I only knew, because my mum was a nurse, so I only knew doctors and pills and diagnoses and hospitals, didn't know anything outside of that medical model. So I looked at her and I'm like, well, that's what normal people do, isn't it? And she's like, well, do you know what's in the vaccine? I'm like, well, no, we weren't taught that in nursing school. So that night I went home and started looking at, why would she question me as a nurse herself? Why? What was the purpose? What is in a vaccine? And then I went on to, how does that affect my dog? And then I went on to, well, how does that affect me? And then I went on to the whole mind and body. And I just went down a massive rabbit warren. It wasn't just a rabbit hole. And for months and months and months, I just kept reading and reading, and every door opened more doors. And it was mind blowing because I didn't know any of this information.
Okay, so to recap, you had gone, and so I live in the United States where, you know, we have sort of two systems of medicine that don't really overlap very much even today in 2026. You've got, they do a little bit depending on who your practitioners are, but not usually. You've got a Western system of medication, which is diagnostics and intervention, like intervention after an illness. And then we have another sort of system, is probably more than one system, but you've got people who are interested in alternative, natural, osteopathic, homeopathic, holistic medicine options. There's probably another 50 different classifications in there that I didn't list because I'm not an expert, but I have had several conversations over the years with people about this. I think it's very interesting. So this conversation happened when you were in the United States. So you were in the United States, and the other person in this conversation was also a traditionally trained nurse. And also what's interesting, which I didn't know before I asked the question, is that the question began when you guys were talking about care for your pet.
Yes, that's where it started.
So very good. So what was it about being challenged by the coworker that led you to researching? Because there was a choice there. You could have just brushed her off and been like, this is what I do, and I'm confident in my decision.
Absolutely. I was first shocked when she said about the ingredients. I'm like, well, we were never taught that in nursing school, so I'd never actually thought to question it because, I'd had all my childhood vaccines. I'd had vaccines to go into nursing, had vaccines to move to America. It was just nothing that I questioned. It was just normal in air quotes. So when she questioned me, I'm like, why would she do that? Which then led me to go home and get the internet up and running and search what's in the vaccine and how does it affect us? And then that just opened a whole array of different doors that I just went down day after day after day.
And was your research exclusive to vaccines, or was
No,
it other things?
it opened up doors into pharmaceuticals, into natural health, into mind body work. So there was a big crossover between researching around the medical model, Western medicines, and researching around natural healing once I started to learn more. So I was looking at both sides of the coin, if you like, trying to work out what it was that she was meaning when she said that.
Okay, so I mean, I don't know. So, like, here's a follow-up question about the vaccines, because when I so like even in the land of in the United States of getting vaccines, the nurses who and doctors who walked me through that process in my life, they've all explained that not everybody gets the vaccines. Like that there is some explanation about. Don't get, this vaccine if you have this other condition. So when you say that you were not taught about vaccines as a nurse and as a person, tell me more about that because it's hard for me to imagine that a medical professional, even in a Western sense, would not have been trained on adverse impacts of vaccinations.
No, I don't remember any training through my nursing school around vaccines other than they're there to save lives. That's all I knew. I just went for all of mine to go to nursing school and to move to America. My children were all vaccinated, my husband, my animals. I never questioned it until she
No
said
discussion on
about
side effects,
it.
sensitivity,
No. No,
residual.
no. And, I would get letters from my children, come to your well baby clinic. It's time for their vaccine. I'd toddle along, hand my baby over, give it its jabs, and let me take the my son and daughter home, and never, ever questioned it.
So there's a difference between never questioning it and never being provided information about it, though.
Didn't get information, just a case of it's time for your baby to come for its MMR or its whatever it was. Bring your baby along, and they would just be given it.
So, all right. So, in your nurse training, you were never trained. That would include that you were never given any information about the fact that some people could have a rash or a slightly adverse reaction or a fever or how vaccines worked.
From memory, the barest of minimum, as in they're good for health and they promote antibodies, and there might be a fever or a rash. And that's the barest of minimum, I believe, that we got. There was definitely no massive adverse reactions. And in fact, and I'm just thinking about a patient I had years and years ago who had, but it was an adverse reaction to a drug. And that was the first time then I realized there was the yellow card scheme in the back of the doctor's drug book, the BNF, until that. So that was around 2002, three maybe, that I learned that there was even a card to send off to drug companies for adverse reactions.
Okay, all right, very good. Okay, so this started your natural healing journey. And then you shared with me that you healed psoriasis, eczema, acid reflux, chronic pain, candida, bulimia nervosa, PTSD, underactive thyroid, burnt out adrenal glands, and depression with suicidal thoughts. So when I read that, the question I had is, are these things that you list, are these things that you were experiencing, or where did this list come from?
Over time, I had all these
Okay.
diagnoses.
Okay, so this was all you.
Yes, but
Okay.
over time, not altogether.
All right. So you go down this self-discovery journey and exploration in natural health. And you had been when you were so the this is a pretty long list of inflamed, like this, so psoriasis, eczema, acid reflux, those are very uncomfortable conditions.
Yes.
Acid reflux, chronic pain, candida, bulimia nervosa, PTSD. This is a long list of things. So did you, when you were going through this research list, when did you apply the lens to yourself and begin taking action on, let's see if I can improve my own living experience?
So once I'd started doing my research, it was 2005, and that was when I started tweaking my diet and lifestyle. So I did a bit more walking, got a bit more sunshine to my skin, and I cut out gluten and dairy because from what I'd read, they both promote inflammation, and inflammation was caused, the potential cause from the gluten and dairy for the psoriasis, the eczema, and the acid reflux. So in just cutting those out and walking a bit more and getting a bit more sunshine, within about 4 weeks, I healed those. So that was my first tangible healing. Outside of that, I was just reading about other people and what they were doing and how they were healing. And with a wishful heart, I hope I'm able to be like these people and start my own healing.
Yeah. So you start with modifications in your diet and in your lifestyle, and you begin to feel significantly better.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what, and this is just based on your personal research online for things you could do. And is that all of the changes you made, or what other type changes did you make?
Initially, I just looked at, I call it the physical pillar, and that's where majority of people start: nutrition, hydration, sleep, and exercise, all sort of in that. That's the physical things that we can do. And that's where I started. And that's how I first started my own healing journey. It was later down the line, I realized there was three other pillars that I needed to bring on board to fulfill a lot more healing within me, not just on the external.
Okay. And so at some point you begin to not just focus on yourself, but also begin to offer to help other people explore more natural health options as well. Were you still working as a nurse, or did you immediately quit that job and start helping other people?
No, I was still working as a nurse as I was learning more about healing in my own body and doing more research. I started doing a lot of pro bono work with people that I knew to see if I could help them through the knowledge that I'd gleaned for myself. But I became very conflicted because at home I've changed the way I eat and the way I live my life. But yeah, I'm going to work. And I'd gone back to the UK in the end of 2006. So then I'm going back to work as a nurse in a hospital, following doctor's orders, helping patients through procedures, giving them pharmaceutical drugs. So I got very conflicted in who am I when I'm living these two entirely different lives.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit more about this inner struggle and how it was showing up for you. So at home, you've changed your life, and what was going on at work as a nurse that was particularly bothering you, that showed up as being disingenuous to yourself?
I learned to practice Reiki,
Okay.
and I did my Reiki level one and two. I spoke to my superior sister, we call them in the UK, and said, "Look, I practice this now, and it's very healing. And can I get a patient's permission if they're in distress or pain, discomfort? Could I possibly use this modality on top of the drugs?" And at first, she said yes. And I knew my limitations, and I would only do it with permission and not in certain people because it's contraindicated. And that was kind of working a bit for me because I'm bringing a bit of what I've learned at home into work, but I'm still supporting people through the medical system. And then not long after, the sister said, actually, no, you can't do that anymore. Even though when I put my hands on somebody, I could watch their monitor, their heart rate and blood pressure come down as they started to relax and the pain started to resolve somewhat underneath my hands. She said, no, you can't do that anymore. So I'm like, okay, that I can't do that anymore. And I felt so conflicted because for a lot of patients, they came through the system where if they'd have tweaked their diet and lifestyle, they wouldn't even be in the system. You know, I had a young 21-year-old girl came for a gallbladder removal, a cholecystectomy, and she drank, I think, 6 liters of Diet Coke a day. And I said, how do you think what you're eating and drinking is impacting your gallbladder? And she said, I don't know. I said, is it possible that what you're putting in is affecting your internal organs? And I had that conversation not to make her ashamed, but to make her more aware of how her lifestyle was impacting her life. She can't go back and have the gallbladder put back in because it's been removed. But I tried to help her to see from just a few little tweaks in her lifestyle, she could be a lot healthier in herself. And she took it on board because I genuinely wanted to help. But I felt so conflicted because that's not what I was paid to do at work. I was paid to follow what the doctors ordered and follow their protocols for patients because I was a recovery nurse, so working in theatres. So I had to follow those protocols to make sure the patients were comfortable post-operatively and then return them to the ward. And I so wanted to keep dropping seeds of knowledge to these patients to help them to help themselves. Because a lot of people, the doctors only focus on here's a symptom, here's another symptom. When we put those together, we call it this and put that diagnosis on it. And then when we've got that diagnosis, we give these pills for that diagnosis. And that's kind of where they stop. And I'd learned so much about mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, and how they impact what goes on inside of us and how we can use those to heal ourselves. But yet, I couldn't talk about that at work. So I was
Right.
just so conflicted. It's like, I know if they made a change, they wouldn't even be here now having this operation.
Interesting. All right. So very good. So this begins as your conflict about the beliefs and patterns that you were working for you in your own life. But then it extends a little bit into your concept of who you are because you identified with the description of being a nurse. You had trained to be a nurse. I think your mom may have been a nurse. Is that
Yes.
correct? And so, as part of this, you begin to question, well, all right, this no longer feels aligned while I'm at work. But also, if I step away from this, then who am I?
Yes.
So, walk me through this authenticity battle because it sounds like it became more than just I don't fully agree with the steps I'm being asked to follow at work. Because there, I can imagine a situation where you would say, all right, this is not how I live my life, but I understand that this is what happens at work. You know, I'll give you an example. There are many, many vegetarians who work in restaurants where they prepare and serve meat, and they wouldn't do that necessarily for themselves, but they make a deal with themselves. They're like, this is my job. So how, so to walk me through your authenticity battle and how it shifted for you.
So as I said, I went into nursing because I wanted to help people in their vulnerable times. And I wanted to help them to help themselves. And at first it was, well, you know, they've had this major operation. I can give them a full bed bath and help them to feel clean and put the clean clothes on and, you know, do their hair and I could do the lay, help the ladies with their makeup. And I can support them in their healing to make them feel more human post-operatively. And I can allay fears pre-operatively. So I saw that initially as my way of helping support people. And then the more I learned about natural self-healing, the more I'm thinking, I live this life at home on my, well, with my family, but with my new core beliefs around my body heals me. But yeah, I'm going into hospital and telling these patients, you've had this bit cut out, or we've put that bit in, or you've had this operation to do this and that, and these pills are necessary. And the doctor's saying you've got to take this medicine and this medicine because of your blood pressure, because of your cholesterol, because of pain and whatever, and all of that. And I'm thinking, well, actually, there is another way. We could look at natural treatments, but I'm not allowed to say that at work because that's not within my remit. There's more autonomy in nursing in England than there is in nursing in America, or so I found in my experience. But even so, I wasn't able to tell this to the patients. So I set up a website whilst I was still nursing, talking about my journey of healing my thyroid. And I was actually reported to my nursing body by somebody anonymous. I wasn't told who it was, saying she's a nurse and yet she's talking about not taking pharmaceuticals for the thyroid, which is normal. And she's saying that this is what she's done. And that is so in conflict with her being a nurse. And I had to explain myself to my governing body. They wrote to me and said, "What is going on? We've had a complaint. You need to take that off your website. You cannot put that on your website." So that really added more conflict to the who am I? And I just want to help people to have the knowledge to help themselves. And I thought maybe I could do it through my website rather than sharing the information at work, which was really frowned upon. And some of my colleagues laughed at me when I talked about what I was doing and how I was living my life. They thought, well, a lot of people think I'm crazy, but that's fine. That's their opinion. But in my life, I'm healing a whole range of health issues that I've had for decades. And whilst they're calling me crazy, here I am healing myself through non-pharmaceutical methods. So I was massively conflicted between, look, I'm healing myself, surely this has got to be a good thing. And then going to work and being laughed at and told, don't, you can't speak like that. You've just got to follow the doctor's orders. And this is the protocol. This is what you tell the patients when they come out of surgery. And this is the advice that you give them. And for me, that it was just so constrictive in me that I ended up going sick and spiral into that dark depressive episode and ending up with suicidal thoughts because I want to help people to help themselves. And yet I'm not allowed to at work as a nurse. I have to toe the line. And that isn't the kind of helping people that I envisaged. At first it was because nursing and the medical model was all the time new.
Right.
But once I'd done lots of research and I found how powerful our minds and bodies are, I wanted to share that more and more, but I wasn't allowed. And for me, once I'd learned that truly is helping people to help themselves rather than helping them to stay in that medical model, in that Western medicine.
And so talk about, so this conflict with your job actually becomes a mental health crisis for you, and you fall into depression. That must have been very hard. Thank you for trusting us with that bit of this story. How does is that connected to your self-identification as a nurse? And how do you work out of that and re-identify yourself?
Well, it took me nearly 2 years to understand who I was, because when I was in that, and it felt like I was in a massive dark abyss at the bottom of a void of nothingness. Life was just so dark. So for a long period of time, maybe a year to 18 months, I can't remember if I'm honest. We had two dogs. We'd moved back from America and as I said, I'd gone sick from work. So I had to take the dogs out for a walk. My husband was at work and my children were at school. And I didn't want to, but it wasn't fair on the dogs to not be taken out for a walk. So I'd take them out with my head down, not looking at anybody, just watching my feet, didn't want to interact with anybody at all because the world was so dark. And as I say, it was about a year or 18 months doing that. But one day I don't know why, I just looked up and saw the trees all had buds on them, and there was flowers on in the grass, and there was the brook at the side of the path. And it's like something inside of me intuitively started practicing mindfulness and gratitude. But it was probably another 6 months down the line before I even realized what I was doing. I just remember that day, wow, there's buds on the trees, you know, must be spring. And that's as I started coming out of that. And that's then when I started to be able to think more clearly, do some meditation, understood then the mental health aspects of healing. We can't just do the physical, the mental health needs to be done as well. And it's then I started looking at how can I move myself forwards, and saw this deep, dark depression as my body going, you need a time out, Sarah. And that's how I saw it. It was a long time out, but you need a time out, Sarah. This is, you're not aligned with the job you were doing. And I knew that. But I'm like, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to help people to help themselves? And who am I when I take off this professional mask and this dress like this mask and this, you know, and all these layers then started to peel off. I'm like, who even am I? And I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not an uncommon situation that many adults find themselves in at various times of transition, where they've become so, they've internalized their job to such a point that without it, they're unsure. And it doesn't just happen with jobs. It can happen with parenting. You know, that's one of the big ones where we see it. It can also happen with hobbies. People who have really intense hobbies, and then they, because of they decide to change or they get an injury, and they don't know what to do with themselves. It's so internalized. And we don't always do a good job of preparing each other for this. So you're going through this authenticity battle, and you begin to peel back the layers. You begin to realize that you're out of alignment. You're taking this break. What, talk about, so you at some point you leave the job.
Yes. My husband suggested that I set up my own business. And I'm like, A, I know nothing about business. B, what even would I do? And C, I'm barely functioning in the house here. How on earth am I going to set this business up and do whatever a business owner needs to do? But actually, there was I'd gone back to university and did a master's degree. And that university had a graduate entrepreneurship program to help people to set up their own businesses. So I inquired about it, and they literally just started a course. I'd missed 1 week, so she said, come and join us. It was one of the tutors from my master's degree. So I joined that and learned more about setting a business up and what it all entails, the things that you need to do. So I'm like, okay, so I incorporated my business, and I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do? You know, I'm still a nurse, but I'm no longer in a hospital. And I found LinkedIn and set a profile up and put all of the transferable skills that I had as a nurse onto this profile. And within less than a month, I think it was, four different companies emailed me and said, we want you to work for us. Not would you like to, not have you considered a job in this? We want you based on your profile and skills on LinkedIn. So I'm like, wow, this is...
That is a really encouraging thing to happen.
Exciting,
wow. Yep.
But anxiety provoking as well, because there was some medical legal work. I'm like, what does that involve? How am I even going to learn that? There was some DNA work. I'm like, okay, well, I can take some DNA swabs. That's no different to taking other swabs. And I became a trainer. So I had to learn lots of scripts and work a PowerPoint. I mean, that was challenging technology. And I went up and down the country doing training of hospital staff in all the, there's annual updates for like health and safety, child protection, manual handling, risk assessment, and so many more. And I had to learn all these scripts and went to all these different establishments training the healthcare workers, from the cleaner to the surgeon, all
Okay.
in the same classes. So I was still a nurse, but I was a nurse entrepreneur. And I the university put me forward to do a showcase of my business in there. They had a day, a specific day for, I can't remember what it was called, but it was all the entrepreneurs from the program showcasing themselves in front of some local businesses. And there was a few different awards. And during that, I won company to watch because they said I'd made something from nothing. Because
Wow.
actually,
All right.
in my master's, I wrote a protocol for what we did in recovery, and there was no local or national guidance for what we were doing, taking the breathing tube out. So I wrote a booklet and a flowchart and got intellectual properties. So they said, because I've made something for nothing, that's my award. And then the university put me forward to a national freelancers day. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if, just one thing being a little local in the university, but it's another thing putting myself out there into the whole of the UK. But I did, I filled the form in, and I came second in that. In the whole of the UK, I came second as the national freelancer with the
Very
work that I was doing.
exciting. That's very reassuring. I mean, I think that's, first of all, I mean, it's like, it must have felt really validating to have people reach out on LinkedIn and then get this. At some point you shift, you pick up a coaching certification, I think.
Yes, it was after that, because although my business was doing really well and I'd been self-validated through the awards that I'd won, I was still a nurse and I still had to sign that nursing register every year and pay for the privilege. And there was every year when that came around, I'm like, oh, I've got to still say I'm upholding the nursing standards. I was loving my job, but I was still conflicted as the nurse. And whilst I was still registered as a nurse, it was 2016, I went and trained as a coach because I understood what coaching was then. And I thought, maybe I can help people to help themselves, because I'm just giving all this free advice to friends and family and neighbours and whatever that wanted it. So I trained as a coach. I'm like, this is it. This is my alignment. This is where I'm meant to be. So I can still help people to help themselves. And then once I've done that training, I surrendered my nursing license, because it's like, I've just, and it took me a while to feel confident enough to give it up, because I'd only ever aligned with Sarah, the nurse. That's all I ever wanted to be, a nurse. And it took me a while to pluck up the courage to say, actually, I'd surrender it. I don't want to be a nurse anymore, because I'm now almost throwing away my nursing. I can never, ever go back to it. And that filled me with anxiety. But, once I'd surrendered my license, I actually felt peace. I didn't feel that conflict anymore. And I'm like, now I can say what I want to say. I can help people to truly help themselves by tapping into their own innate wisdom.
So I'm going to ask you a question, and about how you either combine or separate or integrate these two sort of philosophies. I ask this for everybody who I talk to. I've interviewed several people who have shifted for a variety of reasons from places where they had required licenses with standards to other things. And people have different answers all the time. So please do not take this in any way as any sort of reflection on your decision. But for you, was your journey, did it turn into a rejection of the philosophies of Western medicine, or is it something where you think that these things should be more inclusive and combined together?
It's a bit of both. And let me explain that, because for things like trauma, accidents, emergencies, Western medicine saves lives. And 8, 9 years ago, my dad was rushed into hospital. He was found in agony on the sofa, crying, and he was rushed into hospital. We had pleurisy, sepsis, and pneumonia. And
so let me ask you a question, because one of those words I don't think we use. Is there another word for pleurisy?
Pleurisy is where the lung sticks to the chest wall on the inside.
Oh,
So
maybe
it
it is the same
move
word. I just
freely.
don't know it.
Okay, so it just doesn't move, so it causes severe pain when they breathe. And sepsis, we know, kills people.
Sepsis, which, that's the
And
same
it
here.
needs rapid intervention and pneumonia. And he was really incredibly sick. His urine was dark brown. He was so dehydrated. And he was blue lighted to hospital. And he was in hospital about a week. And then I think he went to rehab, and he was in rehab for about 6 weeks. So if Western medicine wasn't available, he wouldn't have lived. He had that emergency intervention which saved his life. So there is a place for Western medicine in accidents, trauma, emergencies, absolutely, without a doubt. You know, fluid, IV fluids, catheterization, antibiotics, IV antibiotics, all saved his life. So there is a place for that. For everything else, we get symptoms before we get little symptoms first, which then our body, if we ignore them or take a pill or put a cream on or try and suppress those symptoms, our body then starts talking louder and louder. So there's always a little symptom before the bigger symptom. So if we can learn to tune into those, we can catch infections and diseases and health problems as they're starting, and we can do that work. We can take the supplements and help ourselves, help support our body before something major happens.
Okay, I think that's a great answer. I'm glad that I asked. All right, that is very, so it's a very interesting, there's many different things here that we talked about, the decisions of how you went on this journey, following a dream, shifting. Today, so in a second, we're going to wrap up with the final questions, but let's talk about what you do today. And I want to give you a chance to talk about this new business that you formed and share with us what you do.
Thank you. So I set this business up in 2018, and I help people to understand their symptoms. I help people who are sick and tired of being sick and tired. I help people who don't want to be in the medical model taking pills to stay healthy and not get sick. And I do that by helping them to tap into that little voice that's inside of us all. Some people call it innate wisdom. Other people call it higher self. Other people call it God, the angels, spirit, the universe. The name isn't important, but what is important is that coming back inside of ourselves and to understand the language of our body in the symptom that we have. And once they understand the symptom, they can start looking at why their body needed to produce that symptom. So recently, yesterday actually, I was talking to a lady who has had IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, for 10 years, and the doctors can't get to the bottom of it. Nothing they've done for her has helped. She's in a lot of pain. And I just asked her, you know, the root cause usually of IBS is stress and anxiety. I said, does that resonate? She said, oh yes, 10 years ago, my son died, and no longer, no, as soon as he died, my mother was diagnosed with dementia. So I've been caring for her for 10 years. So she'd got unprocessed guilt, plus she'd lost, in air quotes, her mum, because her mum's mind was changing as the dementia was progressing. This lady hadn't had that chance to grieve. She was holding on to all that stress, anxiety, and grief, and it was manifesting as irritable bowel. And yet there's other people suggesting, oh, take this product, take that product, use this pharmaceutical, use that pharmaceutical. A lot of people don't go to the root cause. It's like, here's a symptom, here's something that works with that symptom, do that. Whereas I say, what's the message in that symptom? There's some wisdom in it somewhere. What's your body trying to tell you through that symptom?
Very interesting. All right. So you have a podcast, which has just been renamed. So if I get this wrong, correct me. It's now called the Mind Body Medicine for Self-Healers podcast. Is that right?
It is, yes, thank
Okay,
you.
very good. And you have an offer for the audience, which is Understanding Your Core Beliefs. And it's an ebook about finding your core beliefs, challenging the ones that no longer serve you. The value of this ebook is normally $100, but there's a link in the audio show notes, the YouTube description, and in the email newsletter that I send out every week where people can redeem that for free. The best way to get these links, you guys, for everybody who's watching and listening, is always to be a subscriber to the email list, because then you just click on it. I say that in every episode. It's because I believe that it's true. Subscribe. It's fun. I want to say thank you very much, Sarah, for that very generous offer and for sharing your personal story today. I very much appreciate it. Are you ready to wrap this up with my final three questions?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. What was, this is, you know, I didn't, when I wrote this, I didn't realize that you were in a different country. So I'm excited for this answer. Okay. What was your favorite television show when you were a kid?
Oh gosh, Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry. I love it. All right. Very good. That's so good. All right. So today, for people who are watching, you can see the multi-language copies of a book I think that Sarah has written behind her. But do you read or listen to books? Other people's books. And if so, do you want to share something that you've read or listened to recently?
Yes, I like a physical, tangible book. So if I'm reading, it's got to be a soft cover or a hardcover book, a real book, not something on a computer. And what have I just read recently? Mother Hunger.
Mother Hunger.
I can't
All right.
remember the lady's name, and it's about a mother wound
Okay.
that a lot of us hold because our mothers was absent. I'm going to say that in air quotes, because they don't have to be totally absent from our lives, but they could be emotionally absent.
Yeah.
And about how that wounds people, specifically females. So it's specifically mother-daughter wound. And it causes deep, deep wounds that children then have to grow up. And some people will see them and want to work with the wounds. Other people will never see them and just believe that's how they are.
Yep. No, the mother wound is a thing that people do talk about. All right. Very, no cheating on this next one. What is the last thing, the most recent thing that you bought online for yourself before we recorded this show?
It's coming on Friday.
Very good. We're recording this on a Tuesday for anybody who's okay. So a couple of days.
I want to say drum, but it's not a drum. It's like it's a metal drum-like thing that you can play with drumsticks. But you can also put little like things on your fingers that with hard plastic, so you can play like it sounds like a steel drum.
Okay.
But
So a
instead of
percussion.
Being concave, it's a, I can't remember the name of it.
So, but it's for fun, like a percussion instrument, a metalist
it's
drum.
For fun, but it's very ethereal, the sound.
Are you going to just use this at home, or are you going to go be a part of a drum circle sound bath situation?
No, I'm going to use this at home and just sit and meditate with it.
Very nice. All right. That's spectacular. Thank you, Sarah Dawkins, for being a wonderful guest today on the show.
Thank you, Amy. It's been a pleasure. And thank you for the opportunity to talk to you and your audience.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.